Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I'm glad. I'm actually not on third shift this week, so that's awesome that I'm actually sleeping at night. I know I battled through it last week. No offense, Julio. I know you're still on third. Sorry about that. Somebody's got to do it for us. Well, this week we're going to be, this is the final week. Y'all made it. Congratulations. Nobody, I don't think, died or anything. I think everybody made it okay, right? We've lost some along the way, but that's okay too. The strong survive. We made it here to the end. Week four, this is going to be investing week. Just to review a little bit, last week we did cover steps one through three in the baby steps. Hopefully you identified where you are and you come up with a plan on how you're going to go get through that step and get on to the next one. This week we're going to wrap up the baby steps, picking up tonight in baby step four. And as I said last week, step three, it's really like a transition phase. You're transitioning from surviving mode to thriving mode. You know, you're getting out of that, hey, my head's below water. How am I going to make it? I got to get up so I can swim. Now you're swimming and now you're planning towards your future. So, and also steps one through three, they needed to be taken. I've brought this up, but they need to be taken one at a time and they need to be taken intentionally and with a little bit of hurry up behind your get up, as they say, a hurry up in your get up. But steps four through six that we're going to be talking tonight about, these you work all at the same time. These you work simultaneously, and the urgency lightens up. Because like I said before, we were trying to get above water. Now we are above water. We're in the boat. Now we're trying to build towards our future. So baby step number four is investing 15% of your income for retirement. So tonight we're going to be talking about getting into investing for your retirement. And the scripture that I want to open us up with tonight is Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for their righteousness." Let me open us up in prayer tonight. Father, we just come to you tonight. We thank you for your giftings. We thank you for your blessings. And we thank you for your word, Father, your guidance. Lord, I ask that you guide me tonight as we talk about investing. Show us where to plant our seeds, Father. One plants, one waters, but you bring the growth, Father. And we just ask that you bring growth in our lives. And I ask that I plant seeds in your people tonight, Father. I hope they come with open hearts and open ears, ready to receive. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. And Lord, I just pray over Pastor Lauren. I just want to thank you for him. I'm so thankful for him and his kindness. Lord, I ask that you protect him, that you guard him, that you guard all his steps. And Father, let the favor of God be wherever he goes, dear Lord, and let blessings follow him. And I just ask for just a piece of his heart and kindness and compassion to all of us. We could all learn from him. And we'll just tell you, we are so thankful for him in this house. We love you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's two stories that I like to think about when we talk about investing. One was, I brought it up the very first night, and that's about the parables of the talents. You know, how the master comes back, the one with the one talent, said, "Why did you waste it? Why did you bury it? Why didn't you at least put it in the bank where I could receive interest upon my return?" The other one is the story of Joseph, and you don't hear many people talk on this, or I have it, but it makes me think of it. We're all pretty familiar with the story of Joseph in Egypt. Pharaoh has a dream. Joseph interprets the dream. There's going to be seven good years, but they're to put back then those seven good years for the seven bad years. So one thing you can say is they were prepared. They had a fully funded emergency fund. They were prepared to take care of them and their family. But also, one thing I want to point out, but it only not only took care of them and their family, it took care of other people. Other people survived because of what they put back. And the other thing that I want to point out in that story is, in the bad years, the grain become worth more and more. As they started out, they gave them all their money. Then they gave them all their livestock. And then they gave them all their land. And then it's like, hey, what do we have left? And I hope I'm paraphrasing a lot of this, but I didn't write it. Yeah, the pastor's back in the room. I got to make sure that I'm on my game now. No, I'm just messing with y'all. But that was the key things that I wanted to point out with that. As we go into baby step four, my questions for you are, do you have vision for something? Do you have vision to do something? Are you wanting to retire someday? Are you wanting to travel? Are you wanting to see the country? Are you wanting to see the world? These are things that, you know, if you got drive, that's something that helps you and motivates you to invest. Also, are you hoping that the government's going to take care of you when you retire? I mean, really, or but worse yet, if you're forced to retire before you're ready. So these are things that we have to think about. People are always saying Social Security's running out, that life expectancy's increasing, less and less people are paying in. Articles that I read, they do say that it is running out. It's a fact that numbers prove that there is more money getting paid out than there is paid in. So common sense tells you something is going to have to give eventually. What that probably looks like, it probably won't be that Social Security is going to just up and shut down. Realistically, it probably means that changes are going to be made to it. Whether that be an increase in retirement age, they've already changed it from 65 to 70, and they're also already given incentive to stretch it on out to 70 already now. One thing to note with this is as they struggle for funding, the chance of the pay increase going up is going down. It's very slim that, hey, we're running out of money, we're going to pay y'all more money. And that's important because inflation continually increases. We know cost of living continually increases. People who are already on a fixed monthly budget, they struggle already. So these are things that we need to be thinking about when it comes to investing in retirement. In investing, it's something that many people don't even do. Most surveys that I found online stated that about 50% of Americans say they don't even invest at all in the stock market. So there's the top five reasons that people don't invest is what I want to go through tonight with you. Come at a little bit at a different angle instead of just pounding you over the head with it. Let's talk about the reasons that people don't invest. The number one reason that people say they don't invest is they're saving money in a savings account. Let me tell you, this is a great place for your emergency fund. This is a horrible place for you to grow wealth. Savings accounts generally pay almost nothing. Most pay less than 1% on a regular savings account. The average inflation in the U.S. the last 30 years, 2.5%. So if you're only making 1% interest and inflation is 2.5%, you're actually losing money by just letting it sit in a savings account. High-yield savings accounts are paying around 5% right now, which is extremely high, but they're not guaranteed. They could go back down at any time. There's no guarantee in that. So the number two reasons people say they don't invest is, I'm going to invest later when I make more money. Horrible mindset. Do not think this way. The baby steps are going to tell us when to invest. Our salary only determines how much we're going to invest. Number three, I'm trying to time the market. Listen, you're starting to invest a small percentage of your income. You're not buying a whole company. Come on now. You ain't got to wait and try to time the market. You're just getting in the ballgame. When it comes to investing, the motto is it's better, sooner the better. Sooner you can get in there, the better off you're going to be, which brings me to a topic that I want to talk about, which is very powerful when investing. It's called compound interest. Has everyone heard of compound interest before? Got a quote for you by a very famous man. His name was Albert Einstein. He said, "Compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it." So wise words from wise Albert. The equation to your left, no, to my left, to your right. I'm sorry, I'm sitting backwards. This is what people think about when they hear or think about compound interest. They get confused. They think of a bunch of mumbo jumbo and like, what is all this? So let's start out with just interest. Interest is money made by your money. This is a good thing. Money never sleeps 24/7. It's always working for you. Never takes a day off. Never calls in. Money does good. Compound interest is money made by the money your money made. And then it makes money. And then it makes money. And it keeps going is the beautiful work. So I got a story about two guys. Anybody that's ever heard Dave Neum give any examples on this, you've probably seen this story before. But two young men named Ben and Arthur. We're going to start with Ben. Ben started investing early. When he was 19 years old, he began investing $2,000 a year in his retirement. He only did this for 8 years, then he stopped, never touched it again, never hit another lick at it, just dropped it right where it was, stopped investing. Arthur, on the other hand, he started investing late. He got started when he was 27 years old. Bad Arthur. He invested $2,000 a year, just like Ben, but instead he done it from the time he was 27, his whole working career, until he was 65. Because of the superpower of compound interest, Arthur never caught Ben. Spoiler alert, just to let y'all know. Y'all with me on this? Okay, I'm following y'all. Arthur invested $78,000. Ben only invested $16,000. But Ben retired with $2.2 million. Arthur retired with $1.5 million. So there's two morals of this story in my book, anyways. One, invest early. Young people in the room, invest early. Don't wait. Invest early. As soon as you can, start investing. The second thing that I want to point out, Arthur, he didn't start until he was almost 30, and he was only investing $2,000 a year, and he still retired a millionaire. So just because Arthur's a loser, he's still really not a loser. Arthur done all right himself. So the key in this, don't waste time. If you're on baby step four, it's time to get in the game. And then number four reason people don't invest, they say investing is too risky. I think this is a very common concept when you talk to people. They hear of the market going up and going down, or even worse, to keep a close eye on it. I know my mom, I was just talking to her last week about it, and she worked probably 25, 30 years at a place investing in her 401k. And she just told me the other day that she, 1 year out of that whole time, she invested in the stock market. And she just done it because somebody encouraged her to. And she said it drove her crazier the whole year. She was always worried about it, watching it, and she said she couldn't stand it, so she pulled it right back out. So the one thing that I want you to understand is you don't, just keep in mind, you don't really lose money until you cash out. That's when, until you sell out or cash out your stock, that's when you lose money. You hear people all the time say, man, I lost thousands of dollars in my retirement. Man, the stock market, I had a bad day. I've lost a bunch of money. There has been a lot of ups and downs in the stock market, but it always recovers. It always has. You never hear people bragging about when they gain that money back. You know, when it recovers, they don't go around saying, oh, man, I made a bunch of money today. They just want to tell you all the bad stuff. So that's something key to remember. Even with all the ups and downs, the average return for the last 30 years is at 10%, even with all the highs and the lows. Okay, so the last reason number five, that people will say that they don't invest, is investing is intimidating. This one makes the most sense to me. I know when I first started, I knew nothing about it. Like I said, I just told you a story about my mom. She never invested anything. None of my family ever talked about investing, so I knew nothing about it. But as a good student, I'm still learning about it. I'm in there. I'm learning more. I'm going to keep growing at it. The good news is you don't have to be an expert to get in the game. You don't have to be an expert in investing to get in there. And we're going to talk about tonight how to get started. So the first thing I want to talk about is where to invest, meaning how to start investing. If you work a job and your job offers a traditional 401k, we're going to start there first. We're going to start matching whatever your company matches. So if they match 3%, then obviously we're going to match that 3%. If they match 4, we're going to match the 4. We're automatically doubling our money, so we're absolutely going to take advantage of any money that our company wants to give us. After that, we're going to switch over to what is called a Roth IRA, if you've ever heard of this before. A Roth IRA is a post-tax way to grow your money, so it grows tax-free. Another benefit that we're absolutely going to take advantage of. So go back to our story there. If Ben had been investing that in a Roth IRA, that $2.2 million, that's all his. He don't have to pay the government any of it when he cashes it out. So that's the benefit of it. The max limit that you can invest in this is $7,000 per person per year. I was talking to Shani Shelley last week. He's already doing that, but I was letting him know your spouse can also invest that too. So $7,000 for you, $7,000 for your spouse. If you're over 50, you can add another $1,000 to that. And if you're not at your 15%, once you max out the Roth IRA, then you can swap back to your traditional 401k and you can put the rest of your 15% in investments. If your work doesn't offer a Roth or a traditional 401k, then we're going to start out with a Roth IRA. We're going to start out with that. Then if needed, if you was to max it out and you're not at your 15% income, then you can open what they call a brokerage account. It's also known as a taxable investment account, and just invest your money. So let's talk. We talked about where to start our investment. Let's talk about what to invest in. Our goal when investing is what we want in this is what's called a diverse portfolio. Think of it as not putting all your eggs in one basket. They say investing's like manure. The more you spread it around, the more stuff grows. So that's gross, but I didn't say that. Other people say that. I just repeated it. The best news about investing is, like I said earlier, you don't have to own a penthouse on Wall Street to get in the game. You don't have to know everything to get in the game. And that's what I want to start with tonight and tell you about. I want to encourage you to seek out a financial advisor. And I hope y'all wasn't expecting me just to tell you all the answers to the world, but I would advise you to seek out a financial advisor. They can help decide you, what you want to do. And most of them have templates. Most of them have templates, meaning they'll say, do you want a low risk, a medium risk, or a high risk? And a low risk means that it's going to be more on the bonds end. And then a high risk is going to be, you're going to be heavier towards the stocks. So let's talk about a financial advisor. If your company offers a traditional 401k, you should be able to set up a meeting with a financial advisor from them. And I recommend you do that as soon as you can. My company uses Empower, is who we use. I scheduled a Zoom meeting with them a few months ago. You just go on there. I picked a time slot that I wanted to meet with them, selected it. They sent me an email with the code to the Zoom meeting. And then they sent me an email like an hour before the meeting, making sure I was still good there. The benefits of this was they can pull up your account online. They can share their screen with you, and they can go through and explain things to you or answer any questions that you have. So it's really good. Mine also offers a Roth IRA, so you can, if you're wanting to invest in your traditional 401k, then roll the rest over to Roth. You can do it all under one account there, and you can see all your accounts at one time. If you don't have a company 401k, traditional 401k, what I recommend is you start with one of Ramsey's Smart Investor Pros. And I got that up on the board here. You just go to RamseySolutions.com. You can click on Trusted Services. You click on Smart Investor Pro. And then that's going to ask your location. You'll put in your zip code and some of your information. And what that's going to do is it's going to pair you up with a trusted financial advisor in your area. So it would be good if you're looking to do that. And let's move on to baby step five. I almost cut myself off there. Investing in a college fund. This is a lot like step four, so I'm not going to go into depth about investing in the birth. There is a few points that I wanted to point out with this. One is you'll notice this is way down the list, but that's okay. You're worrying about you, your family, and your future first. Then you're worrying about your children's future. It's okay that if you ain't solely focused on putting your kids in college first, you got to take care of you and your family first. So if you've gotten this far and you do choose to invest in your college or your child's college fund, the best advice I can give you is the same as I gave you in the last one. Sit down with a financial advisor. You can, same reason for these, you can look one up for it. Discuss your investing options and what's best for your situation, because everybody's situation is different. You know, your kid's age, your income, what you're wanting to put towards it. The other note that I wanted to put is there's not a baseline for this. This is solely in your court. You know, there's not a percentage like there is in your retirement, hey, you need to do exactly this and much amount. It's solely whatever you want to do. It's totally at your discretion. And then baby step six is paying off your home early. So you'll notice that we, like I said earlier, we worked the first three baby steps one at a time. Intentionality, fire behind us. We're on fire. We're trying to get it done. These last three, we're doing all at the same time. A little bit more laid back. We got our breath. We're doing good. And I feel that the mortgage is included in this investing portion because they look at your home as an investment. You know, as you gain equity in your home, your net worth is increasing. So I think that's why that it's in with these three. So any extra money we have after investing 15% in retirement, anything we want to put towards our children's college fund, the rest of it we're going to use on our house. And the only note that I had in here was I just want everybody to be aware that you do not have to double down on your home payments. I hear so many people tell me, man, I'm going to start making double payments. I'm going to try to make double payments. You can pay whatever you want to extra on your home every month. If you end up with $121.15, you can put that towards your home. You don't have to wait till you save up enough for a double payment to start paying on your principal. And then lastly, we survived. We made it. We're on baby step seven. We're going to live and give like no one else. And I felt fitting to close with this scripture. So it's Matthew 25:21. And it says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's good stuff right there. It's a good feeling too. I would like to ask my beautiful, lovely wife to come up here and say a few words before we close the week out. I just thought it fitting. You've heard from the nerd side all 4 weeks, and you've heard rules, do this, do that, and I thought it would be good. She was talking the other night at home and saying she was bragging on it, and I'm not going to take what she's going to say, but I just thought, I was like, you know, it'd be nice if you got up at the end and sort of told your side of it a little bit. So if y'all would, welcome Pastor Crystal.
All right, so I'm here for the free spirits. When we first started this, I was like, oh my word. Like, I already felt like he was a penny pincher and he squeaked when he walked. And I was thinking, how are we going to do this? So I was a little nervous about it. But I will say, as a free spirit, I love to spin. I love to do things. My motto was, you can't take it with you kind of thing. And his was absolutely not that. So we kind of, you know. But I will say in the end, once we started the program, it was amazing and is actually more beneficial than I ever imagined. And I love, like I said, I love to spend. There was actually money there that I didn't have to ask Jeff Tilley for all the time. Like, Jeff, can we buy this? Jeff, can we do this? Like, the money was there because we had our envelopes. So every week I could just go and I could take from those things. And just having that, it actually brought freedom to our finances from my aspect, because I feel like he was on one end of the spectrum and then I was on the other. So it kind of just brought us together. So if anybody feels overwhelmed in the room, or you're cringing at the thought of it, of thinking, oh my word, that is a lot, I'm just here to tell you I felt the same way. But once we started doing it, it was really awesome, really beneficial. And then we're at a really awesome place in our life now that I actually got a word back at Summer Hunger that I'd like to just share, that the Lord had told me that we were stepping into a season that our dreams were going to come true. And I see that now, because I see the financial freedom, because at that time we still owed on our house and we actually thought we were going to have to wait until the middle of this year. But we had been praying that God would send those finances to make that happen by the end of 2023. And we didn't see a way, but God made that happen. So it happened at the end of December, so at the very end of 2023. But once the Lord, you know, gave me that word in that time, I didn't really realize, but now I see that, that along with many other things that God is, you know, showing that through financial freedom, that a lot of our dreams and the things that we've dreamed about and been passionate about and helping other people and things like that are coming true. So just to be encouraging, that's how I felt, and it is very beneficial. So I encourage everybody to just try to, just try it. I mean, just start somewhere and just try it.
Thank you. That was really nice. That worked out really good. The only thing that I wanted to add to that was something that me and Brother Jim was talking about something that really blessed us along the way, is as we got a budget and as we started being faithful for what God had given us, he blessed me with about 3 pretty good raises. And we had our budget set, so every time I got a raise, that raise went straight to our bills and our house and stuff like that. So just a little bit just to give God glory for what he done, you know. There we go. Love you, Brother Jim. And then just to end with encouraging you guys, small sacrifices now make for big rewards later. You know, you don't realize what, you know, doing a little bit now will pay for later. And also, you're worth investing in. If nobody else tells you, I want to tell you, you are worth investing in. So I want to thank you guys for having me and coming every Wednesday night and listening to me. I know I'm not the best speaker, but that's okay. I'm getting better. And I was just thinking, you know, one day I may be speaking in front of hundreds of people, and I will never forget starting out with you guys here on Wednesday nights. And I love you guys. And I encourage you to be intentional about your finances. Don't just get by in life. Jesus came for us to have life and have it more abundantly. And I hope that you got something from this series, and I hope that you're good stewards with what God has blessed you with. And for those who have, more shall be added. Love y'all.
Can you stay right there just for a second?
Yeah.
Does anybody have any questions for Pastor Jeff? That's just kind of you, something that he said sparked a thought or a question or something that you need clarity on, or you've been wondering. This is a classroom style setting. I know this is a little bit different, but don't feel uncomfortable if you have a question.
So you started off talking about investing, and you mentioned the stock market. But what about
Well, for me, it was my company's 401k, meeting with a financial advisor and telling them what I was looking, you know, how long is it going to be before. Some of the questions that they asked you is like, you know, how long is it going to be before you plan on retiring? How much are you wanting to draw when you retire? You know, that kind of to stuff. But same way with the financial advisors on there, if you don't have a company or you don't work for one of them, you can get in contact with them, and they'll help you with that.
There's also an app called Robinhood, if anyone's ever used that before, that you can use that you can personally invest. You can choose the company that you want to, how much you want to invest. I know Pastor Lauren and I have talked about that before. I've used it. I believe he uses it. And so if you don't have a financial advisor or your company doesn't have something of that to offer, you don't want to go get one, you can look into something like that. And it's a pretty safe and trusted source as well. I had a question. does yourself or Dave have an opinion or a thought on, like, when someone gets, like, a tax refund on their income taxes? Should that all go, if you have any debt, should that go straight to debt? Should you budget it out, and this is going to debt, and this is going to that, this is going to save? Like, what would be your suggestion on someone if they're going to come into, they know every year they're going to get, like, a lump sum of money, right?
Yeah, follow the baby steps right with them. If you're on baby step two, then all you're wanting to make sure is you keep $1,000 for your emergency fund. Everything else goes to that debt that's not your home, because you're trying to get set free from that. And then after that, then you're going for the 3 to 6 months. Yep.
I was
going to
ask, how do you feel about buying silver?
Silver. Yeah, I don't. Honestly, I've never heard anybody talk about that other than Catherine. She was talking to me a little bit about it last week, and was it, do you mind me saying, Catherine? Okay, it was gold that you purchased, right? And silver, and her thing was getting rid of it. You know, how to get it off your hand. Hey, I got it as an investment. Now, where do I go with it? You know, hey, now I need money. It's not like I just, hey, I'm cashing this out and selling it. It's hey, where do I go to get rid of it? That was the only, like I said, Catherine, thank you. Thank you for letting me bring you into this. But she's the only person I ever talked to with it.
One thought with that, Pastor Bonnie, there's a lot of Christians that invest both in gold and silver because they call it the Lord's money. Because he says in Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And many people also that are very forward-thinking, they feel that when the dollar fails one day, silver and gold is going to be a way to trade, that you may have $1,000 sitting there, but you can't use it, but someone may be willing to trade for a natural resource like gold or silver. And so many people, I've actually just in the past like year heard of multiple people all around the country that have started investing in gold and silver because they feel like that is going to be a sustainable resource. Gold and silver has gone up and down over the years, but they feel like when the dollar crashes and eventually all currency crashes at some point, they want to go to one world currency, whatever. A lot of Christians right now are investing in gold and silver, I feel like. And so, but, and it does, it says it right there in the Word of God, the gold is mine, the silver is mine, says the Lord. So they call it God's money. And so I don't think that it would necessarily be a bad thing because that is what he put on the earth that is a currency and a resource, you know, so.
All right. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Is it better to invest more in the Roth IRA than the 401k?
Yes. All you're wanting to do is match whatever your company's matching first and then put the rest in that. And it's because it is, you know, post-tax. You know, your traditional, if it's $1 million when you cash it out, you know, when you go to retire, you're going to have to pay taxes on that. So.
All right. You did say if your company does not offer a traditional 401k, they're going to match. You should put all and start with a Roth.
Yeah, you want to start with the Roth, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Let's show our appreciation of Pastor Jeff one more time. He really did put, I mean, you saw the slides. That takes time, that takes effort, just the study. And I want to thank him for his vulnerability, just being willing to sit up here. It's not easy to talk about money, even if you're doing it right and you're doing well. And so I appreciate him. Even the last couple weeks with him being on third shift and being tired, and he still showed up prepared and ready. And I just want to say that being a good steward, especially for those of you that are husbands and wives, having a budget is the best way to have communication and to be on the same page. That's the most important thing. In fact, I think he mentioned that money is always one of the leading causes for divorce. And obviously God hates divorce and we want to be faithful to our spouse and it can create a wedge. But I thought about something when he was talking, especially when he's talking about the college fund. Someone gave me a piece of advice. I'm going to give it to you. You may love it. You may hate it. But someone told me one time, they said, Spencer, when you start, and this was an older guy, he's a real estate investor, made a lot of money. He said, Spencer, are you saving for your kids' college? And I was like 24, 25. And I'm like, no, I'm not investing for my kid. I'm not saving for my kid's college. She said, well, let me tell you, you need to start. And secondly, when you do, don't tell them that that money is theirs. Because he said, I told all my boys, I'm saving for your college fund. And they would want to know how much is in there, right? He said, and then one of them gets a full ride and doesn't need it. The other one doesn't go to college and wants it. He wants what I've saved up because I've told him it's his. Now, I'm not saying that's the bad thing to do. Here's the thing to do. You need to decide, am I saving this money to give it to them regardless, or am I saving this in case they need it? And you need to decide. That way you can determine, and this is true for anything, you can determine, because that could, you could not just ruin a husband-wife relationship, you could ruin a father-son, mother-son, mother-daughter, whatever relationship. So the biggest thing with this, I've found with finances, communication. It's not, if you choose we're saving this to give it to them regardless, if they don't go to college, they want to get married, they want to put a down payment on a house, we're going to give it to them. Or if you decide we're saving this in case they need it, you should communicate between you and your spouse, you and your children, so that everybody's on the same page, so that we don't have, you know, wires crossed and people mad at each other. Yes, sir.
This is one thing that I wanted to point out with that. If you do go that route, you need to tell the financial advisor that you're giving it to them regardless, because there's some accounts that has to be used on books, and you don't want to be stuck with the, you know, at the end of it, you'll have to give it to a stranger, I guess, if your kid don't go to college. But
all right. Well, again, thank you guys so much for being here tonight. I'm sure that Pastor Jeff will stay and answer all your questions till midnight. So if you guys were too shy to ask a question in front of everybody, you come ask him now. No, but thank you so much, Jeff. We appreciate you very much. And I hope you guys had a wonderful time at supper tonight, just getting to spend time together. And we look forward to many more times like that as we continue to build a community of unity. I look forward to being with you guys Sunday morning. We're going to start a brand new series on What Would Jesus Do? That's going to run through the month of March. And so I look forward to that. Can't wait to see you guys. Would you stand to your feet with me and receive this blessing? As I declare it over your life, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, and may you be a good steward and walk in the fullness of what God has entrusted to you, what he wants for you, and what he wants from you. And I pray over your life that you would be blessed and prosperous. The Bible says that the Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And may we be like the good stewards, the one that had two and the one that had five that turned it into 4 and 10, and not like the one that hid it in the ground. But Father, I pray that, as Pastor Jeff said there at the end out of the book of Matthew, to whom whom has, more will be given. So God, let us take care of what you've given us, and I pray that over your people tonight. Safety as they travel home, and unexpected blessings on their life, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you so much.